AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. FlightAware says Southwest Airlines has already canceled 2,500 flights scheduled for today. And many of the airline's customers have to go looking for their luggage even if they do get to their destination, like Sam Smith in Nashville.
Oh, we found the bags after 2 days of driving. And we're just happy we made it here. This place is still a madhouse.
In a video statement, Southwest CEO Bob Jordan said it will be a while before the airline is back to normal operations.
Our plan for the next few days is to fly a reduced schedule and reposition our people and planes. And we're making headway, and we're optimistic to be back on track before next week.
The city of Milledgeville, Georgia, one of many in the South without water after freezing temperatures, caused pipes to burst. WMAZ-TV reporter Jessica Cha is there.
City manager Hank Griffith says they've narrowed down where the leak may be, but finding it takes time.
The pipe that we're looking at is over 2 miles long and runs through creeks and woods, and it just has to be walked and determined.
For now, the focus is to help the people who need it.
Strange as it is to say, I can't be more proud of the way people have worked.
Mayor Mary Parham Copeland says crews and contractors are working on leaks around the city.
The Supreme Court is ordering COVID-era restrictions on immigration to remain. More from CBS's Skyler Henry.
More than a dozen Republican governors had sued the Biden administration to keep the order in place. The administration admitted in a court filing that it expected to see a big increase in migration if Title 42 was lifted, potentially even doubling the number of migrants already crossing the border.
A lot of our New Year's resolutions this year are focused on money, says CBS's Matt Piper.
One in three Americans are planning to make finance-related New Year's resolutions for 2023.
60% of Americans feel anxious about the future of their finances, and 30% of people believe 2023 will be a worse year for their wallet than 2022.
And Jill Gonzalez with personal finance site WalletHub says 57% of people do not expect to keep their resolutions for the whole year.
Waitress Callie Blue at Gus's Diner in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, got an eye-popping tip on Christmas Day.
He was really sweet, just chit-chatted with me, got some new things, and before he left, he tipped me $1,000.
The customer was Michael Johnson of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. He was looking for people in need to help as part of the club's Pay It Forward campaign. China will resume issuing ordinary visas and passports. It's a major step away from the strict antivirus controls that isolated the country for almost 3 years. China stopped issuing visas to foreigners and passports to its own people at the start of the pandemic in early 2020. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS22.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces. Just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work. but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. The Biden administration is supposed to release the last of the long secret JFK assassination files this Thursday. And our guest today, Lamar Waldron, is quite confident that the most important files will not be released. You recall when Trump was president, he was going to release the files and then he didn't. And when Obama was president, he was going to release the files and then he didn't. Lamar and I collaborated on two books about the JFK assassination, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy. Each of those books is around 900 pages with hundreds of pages of footnotes. He has now been researching the JFK assassination steadily, consistently, almost full time for about 30 years. And he's got a new book out. It's called, relatively new, it's called The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. It's only about 500 pages. So you want a nice, tight read that condenses all the work that Lamar and I did and Lamar has continued to do all these years. That's how to get it, is The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. You can find it where you find fine books. And Lamar's been on the program many times, but today I want to get into some of the stuff that we've never discussed before. We'll go into details like the CIA's black tape files and the FBI's special room for secret files in Washington and their warehouse for secret files in Maryland and how the Secret Service destroying files is not a new thing. They've been doing this since the early 90s. And, of course, you're going to learn who killed JFK and why and how they got away with it and what is in the files that our government is keeping secret, stuff that we've never talked before about. So, Lamar Waldron, welcome back to the program, Lamar. Great to have you with us.
Great to be with you again, Tom.
And I understand that you'd like to dedicate today's show to someone in particular?
That's right. I don't think we've ever talked about this before. It may have been mentioned very briefly, but I don't even think that. I'd like to dedicate today's show to the late, great John Lewis. And you may wonder, what does John Lewis have to do with the Kennedy assassination? The big secret that I can reveal now is that John Lewis, as far as I know, was the last member of Congress who was really determined to get a law passed. Now, this is, you know, we were the old JFK Act was like, you know, you got to release everything by 2017. And then, as you said, Trump kicked the can once, then twice, then to Biden, and then Biden kicked the can last year to this year, to this coming Thursday. But way, 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 way back, I don't have my notes handy, but I think it was around 2008 or 2010, something like that. John Lewis was working with a prominent U.S. senator who will remain nameless because he may be useful in this effort in the future. John Lewis was spearheading what was called, I think it was going to be called something like the Martin Luther King Records Act. And it was overtly designed to release the Martin Luther King assassination records, not the, you know, illegal wiretaps in the hotel rooms and that kind of stuff. But, I mean, the other files that the FBI and agencies have been sitting on. But John Lewis knew something, and I know he knew it because I went to Washington and met with him in his office at his request. He realized that that at least a couple of people involved in King's assassination were also actually confessed their roles in JFK's assassination.
Whoa.
So while the overt purpose, and you can actually, I think if people just Google John Lewis, Martin Luther King Records Act, you'll turn up that file. And like I say, it could be around 2010, 2008, something like that. But, and he had a prominent U.S. senator. I didn't get to meet with the senator, but I got escorted over to meet with the senator's top aide, and they were very receptive. And so this is going to be passed by the House, it's going to be passed by the Senate, and in fact, I'm sure it must have been closer to 2008, because Obama was definitely president. And what happened was there was a political shift. There were Republicans who wanted to try to use any law getting passed for Martin Luther King or JFK to try to pry out those illegal wiretaps of Martin Luther King's hotel room. And so, you know, there was a political shift, and we can talk more about this in a later show, but because we have so much to cover today. But basically, that did not get to happen. But he was determined. He tried as hard as he could, and like I say, he just couldn't make it happen. So you know, very few people have even tried. He came closer than anyone. Because, like I say, you can actually find articles about John Lewis and the Martin Luther King Act, but the big secret is that he realized that was also going to get the JFK records, because so many people, not so many, two in particular, had literally confessed their roles in JFK's assassination, but they also had prominent roles in King's assassination.
So two men have come right out and said, yes, we participated in assassinating John Kennedy, and they had a role in killing Martin Luther King. Who were those two people?
Well, those two people were the godfather of Louisiana, most of Texas and southern Mississippi, by the name of Carlos Marcello, that we've talked about before. And Marcello didn't just confess. I mean, he confessed once to an FBI informant, you know, while the FBI informant was his roommate in federal prison. And this is 2.5 years before any sign of senility that eventually claimed Marcello. So Marcello, you know, had his wits well about him. And so he confessed then. And one of the things we'll talk more about is, and he was being wiretapped. Now that was a perfectly legal wiretap, because the informant Jack Van Lanningham was convinced by the FBI to give Marcello the present of a radio that the FBI had bugged, and so there are hundreds of hours of Marcello talking about things related to the JFK assassination. Now, his clearest admission was in the prison yard, so it was not recorded.
Yeah.
But
and I should add, you know, Jack just passed away a couple of years ago, and you know, I've had lunch with Jack Van Lanningham a couple of times, heard these stories. You've spent a lot of time with him. You interviewed him on camera. This is solid stuff.
Oh, yeah. And luckily, Thanks to the great George DiCaprio, we videoed Van Lanningham for 2 full days, running chronologically through everything before he even talked to other researchers. Because, you know, when witnesses talk to other researchers and they've got their points of view and all, you know, that can create issues. But yeah, so we have that, and yeah, so he was one of the people that confessed. And by the way,
Marcello was one of the guys that confessed, and he confessed to Lanningham.
And by the way, and then his tie to King's assassination, basically James Earl Ray was a low-level drug runner for Carlos Marcello's very extensive drug smuggling operation.
Wow.
And Marcello didn't take the King contract. He brokered it to an old associate up in Memphis, oddly enough, and so who was putting out that contract? I mean, Marcello hated King because, and again, wish we could go into this more, but maybe next year around the King assassination anniversary or for King Day, King had declared war openly, publicly. It's almost never mentioned in King assassination books. King had declared war on the organized crime because they were preying on the black community, especially. And so Marcello hated King, but Marcello, but the contract actually came out of Atlanta. And the guy dealing with Marcello and Marcello's associates was a man by the name of Joseph Miltier. And Joseph Miltier is actually on tape days before JFK's assassination saying that JFK is going to be assassinated from a tall building with a high-powered rifle. And then he says someone will be picked up quickly to throw, you know, to throw off the authorities. And they'll get blamed on communists, that kind of thing. And then after Oswald, as predicted, was arrested, Marcello confided to an informant that Oswald was going to be taken care of. And he was.
By Jack Ruby, who was also a Marcello associate.
Exactly. In fact, most people don't know it, and you won't find it in any of these documents that won't be released on Thursday. But Marcello owned Jack Ruby's nightclub. I keep seeing these newspaper articles that say, Jack Ruby, owner of a Dallas nightclub. No, Jack Ruby didn't own that nightclub. There were two fronts that owned the nightclub. One was the owner of a barbecue shack who didn't have, you know, $400, let alone $40,000 that he allegedly invested in the operation. And so, so Marcello's just all over this. But it was Miltier who raised the money in Atlanta with three associates, and they had been raising that money at one of Atlanta's largest unionized factories, you know, which had thousands of employees.
Now, he's raising money for the assassination of King.
Of King,
to buy
right.
a contract on King, okay.
Right, and so
from
that,
the mafia.
And so Miltier tried to find a local hitman to do the job, couldn't do it. Miltier was a white supremacist. He dealt arms to the mafia and to anti-Castro-Cuban groups and to white supremacists. They couldn't find somebody, plus that's risky to get the hitman from the city where you live. Where the hit could take place, and so that's when he turned to Marcello, low-level drug runner, etc. So anyway, John Lewis, I mean, he was receptive to all this. It clicked with some things he had heard about, and it's still in FBI files that they've released a little, but not a lot. That basically organized crime and white supremacists teamed up to kill Martin Luther King,
as well as John Kennedy. Although
exactly.
We'll get into that as we continue on through the program. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, the author of The Hidden History, the JFK Assassination. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
The Kennedy files are supposed to be released this week. Don't hold your breath. Stick around.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-611-5153. That's 800-611-5153. 800-611-5153.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election. and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, How Big Business Destroyed the American Dream. And next spring, you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work, offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. If you believe that someone is a billionaire without seeing their taxes, if you believe someone is a genius if they hide their college grades, if you believe someone is a great businessman if they bankrupted casinos, if you believe somebody is an irresistible ladies' man if they have to pay for sex or even accused of rape, if you believe somebody is a philanthropist, if their charity got shut down for fraud and their children had to go through mandatory training about how not to commit fraud with philanthropies, if you believe someone is a patriot, if they got out of the draft during a time of war by submitting phony, dodgy x-rays showing bone spurs, if you believe someone is a Christian who doesn't go to church and doesn't know what 2 Thessalonians is, if you believe someone is an innocent man if they refuse to testify, well, you're not just gullible. You're a Trump supporter. I have a whole video about this over at TomHartman.com. Check it out. And welcome back. We're talking with my old writing partner and old friend Lamar Waldron, who's the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. And Lamar, we were just talking about how first of all, many of the files, like the Miltier files and things, are not even, or many of them are not even among the files that are supposed to be released by virtue of the JFK Records Act. And so, you know, we're not expecting hugely that, we're going to hear, huge revelations when the Biden administration releases some files. But there is something that Joe Biden did that Barack Obama failed to do, that Donald Trump, of course, didn't do, that even George W. Bush didn't do, and even Bill Clinton, who was kind of got this ball rolling, refused to do. You want to tell, and this has to do with Abraham Bolden, who has been on this program. It's been a number of years. But
you and I have been trying to call attention to his case since the mid-1990s.
That's right.
At one of the big Dallas conferences. And so Abraham Bolden was the first black presidential Secret Service agent, the first personally selected by President John F. Kennedy. you know, because Kennedy knew, you know, the importance of symbols and what that would mean for America's population of color. And unfortunately, Abraham Bolden encountered incredible amounts of racism in the Secret Service, something which, according to a lawsuit by some, I think, former, but maybe some current Secret Service people, you know, has definitely continued into the past decade, if not now. And so Abraham Bolden eventually left the presidential detail because of all the racism he was experiencing. He was assigned to Chicago. As some of your regular listeners know, and others were here for the first time, JFK was almost killed by the mafia and with some CIA assistance of lower-level people in Chicago, 3 weeks before Dallas. Abraham Bolden was well aware of that because JFK had canceled not just his motorcade, but his entire trip at the last minute. And JFK's own press secretary, Peter Salinger, told me he knew something was up when he was given two different phony excuses in the space of 30 minutes to explain to the public and to Mayor Daley, you know, the biggest Democratic political boss in America, why Kennedy was canceling his motorcade and entire trip, even as people were lining up for the motorcade. But it was because there were two gunmen. There were four gunmen, and at least two were on the loose, and so they had to cancel the trip. Bolden knew about that. Bolden knew about the attempt, the very similar attempt, in Tampa, Florida, 4 days before Dallas, where JFK did go ahead with his motorcade, despite being warned by the chief of police, who told me this, that you know, JFK was at risk of getting shot from a building with a high-powered rifle. But that threat was even separate from the Miltier threat. It was linked to the mafia, which in Tampa meant Marcello's closest mob ally, Santo Trafficante. So Bolden knew all that stuff. Bolden knew about the heavy drinking. You know, JFK Secret Service detail went out to this after-hours joint, and some were there until 4 a.m., some drinking fruit juice with alcohol flavoring, and some, according to the bar owner, drinking straight alcohol. And so Bolden knew all that. He was going to go tell the Warren Commission about this stuff, and he was arrested the day he went to Washington to tell the Warren Commission about that. He was framed, and the Biden administration even basically put the fact that he was framed on the official White House statement about Bolden's pardon. And I'm just, I can't tell you how shocked and happy I was to see that.
Yeah, me too.
202 808-9925.
We're talking with Lamar Waldron, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We'll be back with Lamar on the other side of this break. Stick around. We've all taken side jobs here and there to earn extra cash, but now making extra money is way easier thanks to Uber. Uber is the ultimate side hustle. Driving with Uber means you can earn extra cash whenever you want. It's not just another job. It's a totally flexible way to earn. You can turn it on and off just like your car. If you have a few spare hours here and there, drive with Uber. Ever wanted to be your own boss? I bet you make a great boss. Drive with Uber and you are your own boss. If you're driving right now, you should be earning right now. Every day is payday when you drive with Uber because you can cash out anytime with Instant Pay. With access to Instant Pay, cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required. Listen, if you enjoy earning extra cash, if there's something special you'd like to buy, your car can start making you money. So go ahead, get your side hustle on. Sign up to Drive with Uber today. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. uber.com/drive now.
Most of us spend more time in our office chairs than we do in our cars or in bed, and yet you probably know what kind of mattress you have, and you definitely know your car, but I bet you don't know what brand of office chair you sit in for 8 hours a day. If you're going to spend that much time in an office chair, shouldn't you choose one that promises maximum support and comfort? The X-Chair is arguably the most comfortable office chair in the world. Greater comfort means more focus and greater productivity out of every hour of your day. With patented dynamic variable lumbar support, or DVL, you'll appreciate the unique comfort and support of an X-Chair. The very
first time you sit down. Buying an X chair may be the single best return on investment you can make in taking your productivity to the highest level. Your body and your bottom line will thank you. X chair is on sale now for $100 off. Go to xchairtom.com or call 1-844-4XCHAIR. X chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to X chair.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Breaking news from the Vatican. Pope Francis today made a surprise request at the end of his general audience for prayers for former Pope Benedict. Francis said the 95-year-old Benedict is, quote, very sick. FlightAware says Southwest Airlines has already canceled 2,500 flights today. Yesterday, Southwest stranded Leona Irvin Gonzalez in San Antonio.
There is no one. You don't see a manager anywhere to help with this nightmare.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says Southwest has a lot of work to do.
They need to take care of their passengers and their employees, given what's happened across their system these last days.
Pascagoula, Mississippi is under a boil water notice after some of its pipes broke because of the cold. City Manager Michael Silverman.
They have done repairs, but given that the temperature is still really cold, there have been additional breaks, and our Public Works Department has been tirelessly working over the holidays to get those areas fixed.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Jenny.
It's up to all of us. It's not just up to Democrats. Are we ready to rid our country of this perversion and deception? You know, are we sick of massacres at churches, grocery stores, theaters, concerts? Are we sick of adults forcing children who are raped into pregnancy? When is enough enough that we're going to vote out those fascists?
I'm putting you down for Caller Hall of Fame today. We have to carry these messages, even if the Democratic Party is incapable. You keep it up, sister.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman Program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com. So Republicans all over the country are all hysterical about all the money that we're spending on welfare. You know, we just can't afford this stuff. And so, you know, let's look at it. How much money are we spending on welfare? Well, it turns out the average American taxpayer making $50,000 a year, which is actually a little above the average, but the average American taxpayer making 50 grand a year, out of that $50,000, $36 goes toward food stamps and $6 towards other safety net programs. But that average American taxpayer making 50 grand a year, $870 of their taxes goes to pay for corporate subsidies. $1,600 goes to offset corporate tax loopholes. $1,231 goes to offset losses from corporate overseas tax havens. And don't get me started on the tax loopholes that let billionaires only pay 3% income taxes. There's a whole video about this over at TomHartmann.com if you want to do a deep dive. Check it out. Welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, who is the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We were just talking about Abraham Bolden, Lamar, and you were talking about how you felt that, that pardon of Bolden by the Biden administration and acknowledgement that he had been framed by I believe it was the Secret Service, was...
Let's be careful.
Go for it.
Well, some people in the Secret Service may have been aware that the case against Biden was swept up. But it was actually one of the main witness against Bolden was actually admitted on the stand under oath that he was told to lie by the district attorney. It was the mafia. It was Chicago. The people who were witnesses against him were associates of someone I think you met, Richard Kane. You didn't meet Richard Kane, but his half brother. Mike lived in Atlanta for a while. A super guy, you know, not the mob side of the family. But Richard Kane worked for the Cook County, Chicago Sheriff's Office and the CIA, and he was a made member of the mafia. So Richard Kane and the mafia, including a mobster who later confessed his role in JFK's murder, yeah, they framed Bolden.
Well, and of course, to cover up their own crime, which was, you know, as we know. But so before we dig into your list of the 10 top 10 secret files that probably won't be released by the federal government this year, and who killed JFK and why, let's puncture some of the most common myths about JFK's murder that the mainstream media often presents as facts. Do you want to just go through your list?
Sure. You know, the one thing that the media is bad about doing is positing, well, if somebody aside from Oswald did it, was it the mafia? Was it the CIA? Was it anti-Castro Cubans? You know, because they were all mad at JFK, as if those are three different planets with nothing in common. You know, and as we're going to hear more shortly, someone like Bernard Barker, who was identified by two different witnesses, one being law enforcement, as being one of the people on the grassy knoll. And by the way, Barker said under oath that he saw JFK's, you know, get shot in the head as it happened, claiming he watched it on television, but people in Dallas didn't get to watch that on television. You know, so Barker essentially confessed. But Barker was a Cuban exile who was a CIA agent who also worked for Santo Trafficante and the mafia. So that's just one of those kind of, you know, red herrings that sticks out there. And, you know, it's not like an either-or kind of situation. So a lot of times people say that we only, and the media is bad about this too, as much as I love getting their publicity, saying that we blame it entirely on the mafia, which is totally not true. You know, when we did the last special that NBC News, their Dateline division, produced for the Discovery Channel, boy, I had to give them a lot of stuff. But you know, we talked about Barker and another CIA agent who made an even clearer confession. So, you know, the mafia could not have pulled it off without, you know, three CIA agents and one CIA asset. Not people at the top, people, one guy in the middle and the other guys at the bottom. So just wanted to kind of clear that up.
Of course, those were all guys who were also mobbed up.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean, that's who they were working for. You know, they weren't doing the bidding of their CIA bosses. They were doing the bidding of their mafia friends and their mafia bosses.
All right. So that's number one.
Right. And hang on just a minute. The biggest one is, of course, that if you look at the New York Times or Washington Post, a lot of the times, you'll get the impression there was one government committee that ever investigated JFK's assassination, and there's only one official government conclusion, which is the blown-up magic bullet theory that Oswald acted alone. Well, that's just not true. The Warren Commission was the first and least informed of at least six government committees that investigated JFK's assassination. There was the Warren Commission, that was followed by the Rockefeller Commission, that was followed by the Senate Church Committee, and then there was also a Senate Watergate Committee that people don't realize also dug into aspects of JFK's assassination. And then, biggest of all, was the House Select Committee on assassinations in the late 1970s. And that committee investigated JFK's assassination and King's assassination. In fact, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee got her start in politics working as an investigator on the King side of that investigation. But she didn't know at the time the FBI was withholding all this information about Meltier and King's murder from her and the rest of the committee and from Congress. And that committee concluded JFK was likely killed by a conspiracy, and they named Carlos Marcello and his closest mafia ally, Santo Trafficante, as having the motive, means, and opportunity to have done it. And then there was another government committee in the 1990s after the Oliver Stone movie. Congress unanimously passed the 1992 JFK Act to release all the JFK files. And a review board was appointed of distinguished people like judges and historians and that kind of thing. And then they hired a staff. And I secretly worked, you know, with one of the directors of that of their staff and one of their investigators, and which I say because people can find those files now. And so they released 4.5 million files, but Naval Intelligence, I mean, the Secret Service, after I told the review board in writing about the Tampa attempt, weeks later, despite that law requiring that all records related to JFK, you know, in that time period be released, the Secret Service came back to the review board and said, oh, darn, we just destroyed the files covering the Tampa attempt. Gosh darn it, you know, we just did it. And that's in writing, and they admitted that, and they suffered no consequences. So that's why when the January 6th committee is asking them to preserve records, well, they just destroy it. Remarkable. They'll get away with it.
Remarkable. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We'll be back with more of our conversation with Lamar on the other side of this break. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Lamar's book is available wherever you find, you know, great books. It's The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We've been chatting about the impressive health benefits of CBD, right? Well, hold on, because if you're into healthier, younger-looking skin, I'm going to rock your world. Bota skincare products are a scientific leap forward in healthier skin and a far more youthful complexion. Bota skincare and age-defying products are plant-powered, not chemical-based. Plant-powered skincare is clean and natural, and here's the remarkable part that's got everyone buzzing. Bota is infused with full-spectrum CBD. You know about the potential health benefits of CBD, right? Now imagine adding the power of CBD to skincare and anti-aging products. Bota helps your skin stay healthy and look fresher and younger way longer. I got you a great deal to try Bota for yourself. Visit BotaSkin.com and enter Tom, T-H-O-M, for 20% off. That's 20% off when you enter Tom at BotaSkin.com. BotaSkin.com.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale is going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. And welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. Lamar, Brett Kavanaugh's last decision before he was put on the Supreme Court was helping the CIA cover up one of their people's involvement with the Kennedy assassination?
Well, cover up the fact that, you know, basically, you know, the CIA obstructed justice and covered up, you know, the CIA officers. They wouldn't name him to the House Select Committee in the late 70s, and they instead said, oh, here's this guy who may can help you find him, and it was that guy. And then again in the 1990s, they withheld the files about that from the review board. So that's why this distinguished judge who headed the JFK Records Review Board, John Tunheim, said in a recent press conference, you know, they were lied to, they were obstructed.
By the CIA.
And this reporter, Jefferson Morley, has had lawsuits going for years. The last decision Brett Kavanaugh made was, I think it was a 2-1 vote, and he, of course, voted to uphold the CIA because, you know, if they want to obstruct justice, well, what's the big deal?
Right. So, bottom line here, who killed Kennedy and why?
Well, we talked 3 hours about that a little over a year ago on your show. I'm going to do my best to condense that down to about 5 minutes. People forget JFK came to prominence going after the mafia, like Carlos Marcello, dragging him in front of a Senate committee, looking for Senator Trafficante.
This is when Kennedy was a senator.
This is when Kennedy was a senator, and chief counsel for that Senate Rackets Committee was his younger brother, Robert Kennedy. And they would go after these people. And the mafia, Marcello's biggest ally in the labor field, only ally in the labor field, really, was Jimmy Hoffa, who was kind of the mafia's banker. And so they went after them, and that's what JFK rode. That's why he gained prominence for. That's why he rode, you know, to that 1960 election with Vice President Richard Nixon. Now, Nixon basically ordered the CIA to hire the mafia to kill Fidel Castro, who had recently taken over Cuba, before the 1960 election, the original October surprise. And so on Vice President Nixon's orders, the CIA basically hired Santo Trafficante and Johnny Roselli, who was the Chicago Mafia's man in Hollywood and Las Vegas. And according to Marcello, they also hired Marcello to kill Fidel Castro before the before the election. Didn't happen, okay? JFK gets elected. The CIA continues that plan without telling the Kennedys. That's why the CIA went ahead with the ridiculous Bay of Pigs invasion attempt that a couple thousand Cuban exiles are going to, you know, defeat Castro's 100,000 man army and militia. That's not, you know, but the CIA was confident this time the mafia would assassinate Fidel. Well, they didn't. And so Kennedy became president. He appointed his brother attorney general, and they had said they would go after organized crime and their banker Hoffa if they were elected. And lo and behold, they did wage the biggest war against organized crime America has ever seen.
Before Kennedy became president, we had never prosecuted organized crime more than a couple of dozen times a year, and there were like 700 prosecutions in his first year. Am I remembering these numbers right?
Oh yeah. I mean, if you see the charts, and I've got some of them in our books, you know, it's just off the charts. I mean, because Nixon was supported by the mafia from the first time he ran for office. I mean, Nixon was the mafia's man. Nixon was fine, whatever the mafia wanted to do. You know, J. Edgar Hoover has reported, I haven't been able ever to confirm it, but it's been reported many times, that J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI director in the 50s, said in the early 50s the mafia didn't exist.
That's
why it was up to the Senate Rackets Committee, which JFK was the most prominent member, to go after it. So they did. By the fall of 1962, the mafia was talking to trusted confidants of Marcello and Trafficante, basically saying that they were going to have JFK killed, that he would not get to run for re-election. They needed a way to kill him in a way that wouldn't, as Marcello told an informant, you know, wouldn't just send in, you know, they talked about killing Robert Kennedy, but that was bad because JFK would just send in the army, right? Everybody in America knew that Robert Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, the vice president, hated each other. So if you could kill JFK, you would basically render the attorney general powerless once LBJ was president. So they needed something to, you know, what could be so secret that it could make all these government agencies, make even Robert Kennedy cover stuff up? Well, that happened in May of 1963. The number three man in Cuba, the head of the Cuban army, the guy who founded the Cuban army, Commander Juan Alameda, reached out to an old friend of his, who was also close friends with Robert Kennedy, a man that you and I knew, Harry Williams, and said, look, if JFK will back me, I'll stage a coup, I'll get rid of Fidel and Raul, and then I'm willing to you know, run a coalition government with some Cuban exiles, you know, that you guys approve of. And so that was America's biggest top secret plan. The mafia was banned from that top secret operation. They were banned from reopening their casinos if the coup were successful. So the mafia had nothing to gain by letting the coup go forward, but everything to gain by infiltrating the coup plan and using parts of it to force a cover-up that even Bobby Kennedy himself would have to participate in, because this was, JFK was killed just a year after we almost got blown up during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so this plan was so secret that if it ever came out, that JFK was basically behind Fidel and Ruhl's deaths, that could have been World War III. So your listeners, you know, that's the crux of why there was so much secrecy about JFK's assassination at the time. Was, you know, Robert Kennedy didn't want to protect, you know, the people who killed his brother. He didn't know exactly who, but he has pretty good ideas that it was some CIA people and some mafia people. But he didn't, you know, he didn't want that revelation to trigger World War III. That's why Bobby's closest aide in 1963, John Nolan, who was one of my confidential sources, told me that Bobby was very aware of Abraham Bolden's plight and would have loved to have done something about it, but he couldn't because he was afraid it would just unravel this whole thing and trigger World War III. So,
that point in time, Bobby Kennedy and a lot of other U.S. government officials believed that Oswald had killed Kennedy and he had done it on behalf of Castro.
Right. Well,
and if the American public thought that was the case, they would demand that we attack Cuba, and then, of course, Russia would respond, and we would be in World War III, and everybody would be dead.
I don't think Bobby Kennedy thought that, because Bobby Kennedy told a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, Haynes Johnson, the afternoon of the assassination, one of your guys did it. Haynes Johnson was working on a book with Harry Williams, a guy who later became a general, a hero of the Bay of Pigs, named Oliva, but he was also working with a guy named Manuel Artime, whose files are still the relevant files, are still withheld by CIA. Manuel Artime was a physician who was so far right, he was far to the right of Ronald Reagan. Manuel Artime was also a drug trafficker for Santo Trafficante. So Bobby Kennedy, within hours, he knew. But you're right. There was a lot of phony evidence floating around, pointing in the direction of Fidel Castro. So if the public thought it was Fidel, and again, some high U.S. officials, not many, but some knew that, you know, we were ready. The invasion date, by the way, when Almeida was supposed to invite U.S. forces, the first of which would be the multiracial Cuban American Brigade commanded by Oliva, that was all set for December the 1st. See, so
of 1963.
So Bobby knew that. And you know, that was just 10 days after Dallas. And so Bobby knew that. And so you couldn't let information that really pointed the finger too strongly at Russia get out either, because that could force this is the days of Dr. Strangelove, 7 days in May. People were worried about a military coup. You know, the generals might, you know, just pressure the new president to say, hey, looks like Castro killed our president. Let's go in. Let's go get him, you know, and then you got World War III. And so that's who killed Kennedy, why, and they used that top secret plan to force a cover-up, essentially.
Amazing. So I want to get into the 10 most important JFK files that won't be released in all probability, and how this plan came together, and how they've been able to keep it covered up all these years. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Just because she says she doesn't want anything for Valentine's Day doesn't mean she doesn't deserve anything. Not to worry. The Books Co. has you covered. That's Books, B-O-U-Q-S, as in bouquets of flowers. They offer farm-fresh, sustainably sourced flowers for next or same-day delivery. Order today and get 25% off your entire purchase. Go to Books.com/Tom. That's Books.com/THOM for 25% off with the code Tom. And remember, Valentine's Day isn't just for lovers. Show your best galentine some love. Let mom know how much you love her. Or make that first move with the one you've been crushing on. Fellas, you think it's cold outside now? Wait until you forget Valentine's Day. The Books Co. is here to make your life easier, and they offer more than just roses. You'll find sweet treats, beautifully styled bouquets, plants, gifts, and succulents on their site. This Valentine's Day, spread the book love with your first love, your forever love, and your loved ones. Go to Books.com/THOM for 25% off with the code Tom.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.